Last week, Father Will and I both gave you homework. Did you do your homework? Do you remember what your homework is? Did you lose it? No. The dog ate it? Your homework was to read Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. So quick show of hands, who did it? Who read 5, 6, and 7? Okay, those of you who didn't, you have this week to read it. And you have another week, too. You have 3 weeks. The reason we've asked you to read Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, this Sermon on the Mount of Jesus, is because this sermon, it's his first sermon in the Gospel of Matthew. It's his longest in all of the Gospels. And in this sermon, he is laying out what it means to be a disciple, that is, to how to live in the kingdom of God, which he has come to usher in. So he's speaking to his disciples, and they are all gathered there on the Mount of Beatitudes around the Sea of Galilee on the grass. So they are sitting there listening attentively to Jesus as he speaks to them these words of how to follow him and what it means to follow him, how life is different because we are followers of Jesus. And so we are all here as disciples of Jesus, and we're invited to sit down, if you will, in the grass and to listen to Jesus speak to us as we read through the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 and listen to him speak to us. So if you've done that, great. If you haven't, I invite you to please do that, to sit and to listen to Jesus tell you this wonderful, amazing life that he's calling us to live in his kingdom. Today, in our reading, we are moving along. Last week, we had the Beatitudes, which was sort of a new lens through which to look at life. So blessed are the poor in spirit, not the wealthy. Blessed are the meek, not those who are aggressive. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. So Jesus is teaching us to live differently. And then today he gives these three analogies of salt, light, and a city on a hill. So if we live differently in the world, then we will be salt for the earth. We will be light for the world. We will be like a city set on a hill that shines its brightness through all the city or the country. So the point here is that when we are transformed, when we are living like Jesus has called us to live in his kingdom, we are different. We bring something good into the world. And today I'd like to focus on salt. And so I have a little salt shaker here. It's almost empty because Father Will likes salt. Not really. It's almost empty because we're like two bachelors and we're lazy and we don't want to fill the salt shaker. But we will eventually have to. A salt shaker. So it's your little visual cue. Here, you can even hear it ringing. Does he hear that? Okay, there you go. So salt, it's something that changes food, right? It makes it taste good and to stay good. To taste good and to stay good. So it's preserved and it makes it taste good. And this is something that we know. I mean, nobody goes and fries potatoes and doesn't put salt on them, right? We like McDonald's french fries because they're loaded with salt. So we like salty food. You can't imagine burger and fries without salt. And this way of spicing up food with salt is something that's part of human history. And I've been reading through the 1800s development of Catholicism in the state of Texas. It's a book by James Talmage Moore, Through Fire and Flood. And one of the things that's really interesting in that is that when people were traveling along, they would sometimes have to stop and shoot an animal or find food to eat, mostly meat. But they preferred to take salted, dried meat with them so that they could travel all day long and not have to worry about stopping to cook some meat. So this salted, dried meat, it tasted better and it stayed good. It was preserved. That was their traveling food. So this idea of salt, that it makes things taste good and preserves them. It's interesting that there's also a covenantal reality to this. That is, something about the relationship with God and salt. In the book of Leviticus, the third book of the Old Testament. So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and then Numbers and Deuteronomy. So Leviticus, in that it talks about all of the sacrifices that the people are supposed to be making in the temple. And those that are offered up to God, they always have to have a little bit of salt in them. So salt is something of a reminder of the presence of God, of God's covenant with his people. And the offerings that they would offer in the temple, there would be burnt offerings that are burnt up completely and rise up to heaven, the smoke does. There would be cereal offerings, which were basically cakes that had salt in them. And they would actually put the cake on the altar along with a glass of wine. And then they would say their prayers of thanksgiving. And then they would eat this meal, a shared meal with people. And it was as if God was eating with them. It was a covenantal meal. So they were dining with God. They would also offer meat as a sacrifice and have basically a barbecue. The meat after being offered to God would go to the priests, or sometimes it would be a convivial meal like the bread and the wine. So salt was always added because it made the food that they were going to share in this meal taste good, but it also preserved the meat. So salt, it's this thing that reminds us something of God, even in the Old Covenant. When we think about salt in food, we know that it changes it. It makes it different. And so we are called to be salt in the midst of the world. What does it mean to be salty? Well, in this reading from Matthew, he's clearly saying that it's by our good works that we are salty. So think about the good works that we do because we're Christians. In the first reading from Isaiah, he gives some examples. So feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, giving shelter to those who do not have a place to live, visiting the sick. And think about how this happens. I mean, it's certainly there are ways that we do this with like St. Vincent de Paul, where people can go to get food and they can get clothes. We help them with their rent through St. Vincent de Paul. So when we donate to St. Vincent de Paul, we're helping in some way with these needs. But this happens primarily actually in family life, right? If you think of parents who are welcoming children into their home, into their lives, they're constantly feeding their babies, right? Parents have to feed their babies. And if they don't feed their babies let them know and they scream, right? There's nothing like a hungry baby. So feeding the hungry and clothing the naked. If parents didn't clothe their babies, they'd be running around naked. So parents have to clothe their babies and clothe their children and continue to raise them. As they raise them, they buy clothes for them. They shelter the homeless. Who's more homeless than a little child? Unless the parents are there to give a life and a space for that child. And visiting the sick. In family life, when everybody's very generous with sickness, right? When somebody gets sick in a family, typically everybody gets sick in the household. But then they have to care for each other in their sickness. So think about how in family life, you who are married with children, you are already living this out by feeding and clothing, sheltering and visiting. And this happens also as maybe parents get older and need extra help. So within the context of family, this happens. It also happens in the context of the neighborhood, when there's a new family in the neighborhood going to visit them and maybe taking them food and welcoming them. So welcoming the stranger. But we do all of these things as Christians because we know that the world is different because of how God has made us. We're living in the kingdom. And even in the beginning of Christianity, as it was beginning and people were longing for the kingdom of God, they already had these houses of the destitute, Bethany. So there was Bethany near Jerusalem and Bethany beyond the Jordan. It was the home for the destitute, where people who were seeking to live in the kingdom of God would take care of those who were in need, providing for them a place to recover from sickness, to give them food, to give them shelter as they were going on their journey to Jerusalem. In the Roman times, the Romans, the pagans, they would leave their babies out on the street if they didn't think that they could care for them, just in the drainage ditch. And Christians would go and take them and adopt them as their own and feed them and raise them. So Christians lived differently in the world because they had a different worldview. In the Middle Ages, when people would go on pilgrimage to the Holy Land, there was these Hospitallers who would have a home or a place where people could stay along the journey and they could be nursed back to health, have a shelter along the way, get food to eat. So that's where hospitals come from. So we have this intuition that we should do something to feed those who are hungry, clothe the naked, and shelter the homeless, and visit the sick. And why do we do that? It's because our worldview is different. This is precisely what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. That we know who God is. That he is the one, first of all, who has created us and given us everything. Right? All that we have, even our very existence, is a gift from God. I'm not the owner of this. My life, my existence is a gift from God. That, first of all, is foundational for us in the way we interact with the world. It's all a gift. But Jesus also reveals to us that we have a Father in heaven who has blessed us, who knows us intimately and loves us. And later on in the beginning of chapter 7, in this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about this. He said, look at the birds of the sky, how God feeds them. They don't worry about where their food is to come from. God feeds them. And yet, how much more does God know you and care for you? Look at the flowers of the field and how resplendent they are. They're clothed with all of this glory and splendor. Even Solomon in all of his glory was not clothed like they are clothed. And how much more does your Father in heaven care for you than these flowers of the field? So we know that we have a Father in heaven who cares for us, who has blessed us, and who delights in us and loves us. And because of that, we recognize that all of that we have in this world, it's a gift. It's not just for me. The goal of the Christian life, living in the kingdom of God, is not to accumulate the most things on earth, right? You can't take that with us to heaven anyway. It's using it for the glory of God. I use what I need and I give the rest to those who are in need. That is the Christian assumption, even from the beginning of Christianity and through the ages. And so I invite you to think about, like, what does it mean to live in the kingdom? How are you meant to be salt for the earth? How are you meant to be different than the rest of the world? To be good and to be good for others. I just want to conclude by saying that we do this not alone. Like, none of us is going to go and change the world all by ourselves. Like, I'm going to be salt for the earth and I'm going to change the world. It's not with that sort of arrogance, but it's with humility in awe of what God has given and recognizing that we need people around us that are living this same way in the world, in the kingdom of God. We have a group of women who are on retreat for the welcome retreat this weekend, 30 women, and they're the team of 12 or 15 women who are putting the retreat on. They're coming together to pray together and to talk about how is God calling us to be different in the world. We have a mission coming up in a week and a half on Wednesday and Thursday. We do that because we need the encouragement to hear, continue to hear how God has called us to live differently in the world. And if you haven't made plans to attend that, Wednesday night is especially for families. We'll have a meal and for the children, burgers and hot dogs. And then Thursday evening will be some hors d'oeuvres and a time for more adult topics. But we need to come to those things and listen and be together with our family of faith here so that we can grow in love for God and live in his kingdom. It's also why we have Alpha and things like that. So this week, as you put salt on your food, I encourage you to think, how is it that God is calling you to live differently in this world? How is he making your life salty? How are you caring for those who are poor without a home, who do not have food, who are sick? How are you caring for them differently because of living in the kingdom of God? And then if you haven't read the Gospel of Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount, to do so. Do your homework, the teacher says, right? But do your homework because Jesus wants to invite us into this amazing life, a living in his kingdom.